you guys are not as sleepy as we are. We just arrived in Barcelona yesterday, and we're kind of walking around like zombies. But we drank a lot of coffee to muster the energy for this session, so hopefully we'll give you guys what you came here for. My name is Chandrika Shankar-Narayan, and I'm a program manager lead on the Azure Management Platform team. And with me is my colleague, Leon Velikin, who is also a program manager lead on the Azure Management Portal team. Yes. Oh. Well, it was loud enough, nobody complained. All right, so today we'll be talking quite a bit of time on the Azure Preview Portal, talking through some of the management and monitoring capabilities and some of the new announcements that went out today. Before we begin, I want to get a quick poll on how many of you folks are using the Azure Preview Portal today? Show of hands. That's about 40% of the room. That's awesome. Half of them are New Relic. That's great. We'll talk through some of those integrations as well. How many of you folks are using the current management portal to manage your Azure services? That's a small percentage. So the rest of you guys are not yet using the portal. Hopefully this session will give you some more information about what we're doing with the portal, where we're taking the management and monitoring platform, and encourage you guys to start using the portal and exploring what we have. We'll start off by talking a little bit about the integrated DevOps lifecycle and how we are enabling a unified management experience through the entire platform, the plumbing, and through the client experiences, including the portal. And we'll talk a little bit more what's under the hood, the Azure Resource Manager. There's another talk, I believe, later in the week that's dedicated to Azure Resource Manager. But we'll touch on some of the high-level stuff in this session, and then hopefully you guys will get to go to the deep down so you can understand the plumbing behind the Azure Management API, the Unified Azure Management API. And today, Jason announced the Azure Marketplace, the coming out party today. It was pre-announced, I believe, last week or the week before by Scott and Satya, but today we showcase the Marketplace. Again, there's another talk on the Marketplace later in the week, but we'll talk through the Azure Marketplace and demo some of the capabilities that we've exposed through the Azure Marketplace. So the bulk of this session will be demos. We'll talk through the new portal, the concepts, et cetera, and Leon is going to take you through some of those. And then I'll help take you through the Azure Marketplace and how you can build and operate a running application using the new Azure Preview Portal. It's not new anymore. We actually released it at Build, but it looks like it's new for a lot of you folks in the room. And then, of course, we'll take Q&A. So just a very quick intro. This slide should look super familiar. What's on it should look super familiar to you. This is just about the Microsoft Cloud infrastructure and the platform that we stand on with IaaS, with supporting Windows VMs, Linux, storage networking, a lot of conversation about Express Route today, and PaaS, our traditional web, mobile, identity, data, analytics, integration, et cetera, et cetera. On top of it, we're striving to provide you with a unified programming model and tools, regardless of what programming model you build in, whether it's .NET, whether you're using Visual Studio or TFS, Microsoft Technologies, or you're using Git or Java or Node.js, PHP, et cetera. We're providing a unified programming platform, and the management APIs are agnostic of what you build your applications in, and the tooling that sits on top of the APIs are also agnostic. We're trying to provide a unified experience for you. So it's an integrated DevOps, and IT Pro experience that you'll see through the client experiences in the Azure Management Platform. So just very quickly, the DevOps basics. We're striving really hard to remove any kind of friction in application development all the way through testing to deployment to operating your application. So whether you're using a Microsoft platform for building your writing your code or a third party, building your app and testing your app, and deploying using any technology to Microsoft's cloud. The Azure Management and Monitoring Platform, again, provides you with a single unified environment to manage those applications and then build them iteratively through your application development lifecycle. And you'll see through some of these demos that you could be integrating with Git, or you could be building Node.js apps and pushing that to the Azure cloud, using the Azure Management Portal and the management platform, and iterating through your running application and seeing the goodness of management and monitoring and troubleshooting all within the single client experience through the unified management APIs. And very quickly, what's underneath the hood as far as the client experiences are concerned. If those of you that have used the existing management portal in the platform, you will have kind of probably run into the notion of resource providers. The resource providers serve up management and monitoring capabilities for their individual domains or workloads, things like Azure websites, SQL Azure, or IaaS or PaaS, or third parties like, you know, the ones we already support in the Azure store in the existing portal, or the ones that we support newly in the Azure marketplace. And we'll demo some of those through the course of this this session. These resource provider contracts are abided to and honored by the Azure Resource Manager. And the Azure Resource Manager provides a unified management API for the cloud as well as on-prem. And whether you're using AAD to federate or ADFS to federate your applications, the Azure Resource Manager provides that single lens, a single API. And all clients that sit on top of the API, whether it's the Azure Management Portal, Command Line, PowerShell, Visual Studio, et cetera, simply sit on the Azure Management API and leverage all of that goodness and the plumbing and the capabilities. And we'll talk through some of those and demo some of those as well as we walk through today's session. I want to spend some time, because this is important for some of the pieces of the demo we do. What is it that the Azure Resource Manager provides that's important for you to understand? There's a concept of a resource group, which is a unit of management, if you will. Helps you provide a life cycle for deploying your application, for updating your application after the fact, for managing the status of your application, managing eventing and telemetry capabilities for all of the constituent parts of your application, managing identity across all resources in a uniform fashion, being able to provide a single lens or a view across metering information, billing information, quota and usage, all of which is rolled up across all resources in your application in through this resource group concept. So you'll see when you create an application in the Azure Preview Portal, the first thing we ask you about is what is the name of your resource group so that we can put all your resources in a container. And then you can continue to add to the resource group as you update your application, add more components to your application, et cetera, and manage that as a single unit. And one important thing to understand about this whole thing, and you'll see as we walk through some of the Azure Marketplace demos, is the concept of Azure, the Azure templates. What is the big deal about templates? Templates provide you sort of with a schema and a source file for defining the resources, the relationships between the resources, the connections between them, and the dependencies between them. We have a JSON editor in Visual Studio that enables you to compose such templates. And of course, we provide you a ton of out-of-box templates that are available through the Azure Marketplace, starting with some of the basic workloads we have, as well as some interesting composite multi-VM scenarios as we'll walk through the demo with you, as well as third parties that we've integrated fully into the Azure Resource Manager. And we have the ability to, as a result, simplify the orchestration of all of these resources that are comprised and defined in this template. What that allows us to do is to simplify things like rollback, being able to do cross-resource configuration, being able to update the template all in one, and you control it because you're the author of the template. If you use one of our templates, of course, we give you all of that capability. You could use one of our templates as a starter template and then author more or additional updates to it and then own that template for yourself. And as we walk through the gallery example, the Azure Marketplace examples, we'll talk about where we're taking the Azure Marketplace as well. And so what does this all mean? Before we jump into some of the demos, really what we give you is a lifecycle container, the ability to deploy and manage all of your applications as you define it and as you see fit together as one unit. And it's a declarative solution, which gives you the ability to author and manage your templates yourself, manage the configuration of your template. It's a single-click deployment, and you can instantiate multiple instances of these templates as well, of your application as well. And therefore, a single consistent management layer across all types of applications, whether they are native applications built on .NET or third-party applications as well, and a single set of management tools that operate over these templates and give you the ability to manage and monitor these in the cloud, in the Microsoft cloud. Oops. Before we jump into the demo itself, very quickly I want to touch on the new thing that we introduced today, the new Azure Marketplace. Back in 2012, I believe, we introduced the notion of Azure Store, and we had a lot of good third-party vendors that came in and partnered with us and provided some very key value-add services in the Azure Store. Since in the last 2 years, we've talked to a lot of our customers, we've talked to a lot of you, and gotten a lot of feedback about where we want to take Azure Marketplace and where our enterprise, what sorts of requirements our enterprise customers have on the Azure Marketplace. So we've kind of evolved the Azure Store into the Azure Marketplace. Scott and Satya, a couple of weeks ago, announced the new direction that the enterprise cloud is going, our Azure Enterprise Cloud is going, with the announcement of the largest size VMs that we're offering from Microsoft, as well as the partnerships with key technology partners that we have made with Azure Marketplace. We've partnered with a lot of big data vendors, a lot of ISVs that we are already working with, in order to provide value-add services, applications and services to our enterprise customers. So you can think of the Azure Marketplace as an experience that brings in services from startups, services, services from big vendors, such as Cloudera, Hortonworks, big data vendors, et cetera. We brought them all together into a single ecosystem and managed all of that within the Azure Marketplace. And we'll walk through the demo and show you how easy it is to, with very few clicks, provision a simple service as well as a complex multi-instance, multi-VM cluster very quickly from within the Azure Marketplace. So you'll hear a lot of this in the Azure Marketplace talk later this week and where we are taking the Azure Marketplace to in the next coming months as well. So with that, we'll switch over to the demo, and we'll spend the rest of this session in doing demos. We'll start by talking about the new portal concepts. Since many of you guys have been using the new Azure portal, we also have introduced a set of new concepts and set of new capabilities. We've listened to the feedback we've gotten from many of you folks about the improvements, usability improvements, performance improvements we want to make in the new preview portals. So we'll take you through some of those things. And then we'll jump into the Azure Marketplace and talk through how we're leveraging a partnership with technology partners and where we're taking the Azure Marketplace. And then we'll talk through, demo some of the building and operating of your running applications with enterprise-grade access control. You'll see RBAC demonstrated here as well, role-based access control, and we'll talk about where we're taking that as well. All right, Leon?
Yes.
Go for it.
Cool. Thank you very much, Chandrika. Can you guys hear me? Yes, awesome. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you very much for staying late for the session with us. Buenas tardes a todos. Muchas gracias por quedarse tarde y acompañarnos en esta sesión. So in the next few minutes, what I want to show you is the updated preview of the portal. And basically, I have like two goals. For the ones who have not seen it, I hope that you get excited enough with the demos that I'm going to show you and the ones that Chandrika is going to show you, so you go and try it and play with it and give us feedback. For the ones who tried it, we have a lot of things to show, because this version that I'm going to use right now is something that we put in production today. So these are kind of new bits. And mostly one of the things that is worthwhile mentioning, even though Chandrika already said, but I'd like to stress that again, much of the innovation and the work that happened here was motivated by the feedback that you guys gave us. So I'd like to start this with a big thank you, and I'll get started. So we'll start from the very basic, and we will building up as we go. So let me switch really quick. So what you see here is the new Azure Preview Portal. This is what you would get. This screen is the thing that you would get as soon as you sign up for it, if you don't touch anything. This is kind of like the basic experience. So in the center here, where I'm pointing with a mouse, this area is what we call the start board. And each one of those boxes we call parts, which you could think of them as tiles. One of the interesting things about these parts is that they are live. So many of them are live, not all of them, but most of them are live. So the information that you see in the screen is connected with the backend. So let me give a concrete example. We have that service health map that shows the status of the Azure network across the globe. If anything would happen, you would see it reflected in that part without the need of refreshing the browser, pushing information live. The starboard is a space that is meant to be yours, as most of the portal. And this is an important thought that I would like you to keep in the back of your head, because we'll get back to this in a few minutes. Next, at the left, we have this vertical bar. That is what we call the jump bar. And basically, that's an omnipresent navigation tool, which it's a fancy way of saying that it's always there, basically. And one thing that might be worthwhile is going through what is there so you can get, you know, you can get familiarized with what you can do with the portal and how to navigate. So at the top, home, this would take you always to the beginning of the starboard, so to this familiar place. So if you're using the portal, you get lost or whatever, you click that and you always start again. Next, we have notifications, which basically what shows is a panel there with all the notifications that are relevant to you. The result of an alert, if you're doing a long-running application, when it finished, somebody else did something on a resource on your subscription, you name it. Basically, all those notifications are always one click away. Next, and maybe this one might be worthwhile to spend a few more extra seconds, browse. So this is the hub where you can get access to all your resources. At the top of the hub, you see we have recent. So basically what we do is as you use the portal, whoops, it's not intended to be done right now. Sorry. So as you use the portal, we keep track of what you use. And we record that and we offer that to you in the recent section. That's one of the new additions in the updated preview, by the way. The other one, let me close this, I'm sorry. The other section, I'm sorry for that, the section below that gives you access to all the categories of things that you own. And you can think of it similarly to the bar that you have in the current portal that gives you access to all the resources. This is similar to that in spirit. Next, we have active that lets us change between the active flows that we started and billing that gives us billing information. In this case, I'm using my MSDN account, so I see, you know, how much do I have until I reach my cap and whatnot. And of course, I can drill down from here and get additional details. Chandrika is going to show that later. Finally, at the bottom, we have what we call the Create Hub or the New Hub, where basically we offer a subset of the marketplace with things that are commonly created. And if you don't find what you're looking for, we have a direct access to the marketplace itself, so you can find it there. Cool. So I mentioned a minute ago that this is my MSDN account. So basically what I do with this one, I built an app with a few friends. And when I come here, it's mostly to do things related with that app, to manage it or to do deployment or whatnot. So I'm going to open it. It's a website. So basically, let me... It's a website, which I'm going to bring it from the recent. And what's going on here? This vertical slice of the screen that you see here is what we call a blade. The blades are the basic units of navigation in the new updated portal. And as you open and as you navigate to new resources, or you activate different parts, each one of those boxes, we will be opening blades at the right-hand side in an infinite canvas. In this case, this is a very interesting blade, because this is a blade that projects a resource. In this case, a website. All resources in Azure are projected via a resource blade. So one thing that I think that is really worthwhile right now is like spending a few minutes also going through how does it work, because some of the patterns that you would see here and that you will learn here will help you get by with any resource in Azure that you see. So at the top, we have the status bar, which basically gives us status about the resource that I'm looking at. So let's say right now everything is fine. It's running, so green, it's fine. But if anything would happen with this guy, with this website, and would get stopped, I would see this red. Actually, I would get a notification as well, but I can get the information in the place that I care about. Next, of course, the name. But the other relevant place is the command bar, when I get a set of commands that allow me to take action on that resource that I'm seeing. And that's very consistent across all the resources. So I can start my website, stop my website, refresh it, and whatnot. That would complete the Chrome of the blade. Now let's move to the content. But before doing so, let me hide the labels and put the blade in compact mode such that we can get more space for the content. That is what we care about right now. So then, you see that we have a bunch of parts similar to the ones that we have on the starboard under different labels. That grouping is what we call a lens. And each lens represents like one aspect of the resource. We have several lenses here in the website blade. I'm going to pick three that are present in most of the resources. And let's get to it. The first one, the summary, is the one that shows like a topology that includes the resource group. So basically what you get to see here is how your resource relates to the resource group in which it is contained, and what are its siblings elements. So you can use it as also as first to understand how it fits in the overall picture or as a navigational help. Next, we have Quick Start. So basically, if I create a website and I don't know what to do, this is like tips and tricks. So I would click this guy, and I would get information like, I don't know, what tools do I need to do, how to deploy, or whatnot. The one that is really important here is this settings part, which again is one of the additions in the updated preview. So you go to the website, you might take an action or change a setting. And that's true for most of the resources. Every setting that you can change is accessible through here. It's an index of everything that you can change. So when you get to the portal and you have to manage a resource, you go try to find that settings part, and you know that from there you will be able to configure anything that you're looking for. Finally, we have tags that allows us to create our own, categorize the content in our own way. We'll get to that in a second one during the demo. Next one that's worthwhile mentioning is monitoring, where we have a set of charts that offer information about our resource. One thing that I'd like to pause for an extra second here to mention is that, you see, I'm looking at the website late, and I'm looking at my website. But each one of those parts are not necessarily part of the code that is contributed by the website team in a way. I mean, they are not part of the website product. So this might be contributed by other teams. Our goal, as Chandrika mentioned before, is reduce the friction between products as you're trying to release your scenario. So it's put your scenarios on the front. And as you can see, each one of those parts might come from different sources, but you as the user don't need to tell them. You will use a consistent experience across the entire flow. Moving further, at the bottom I have the access lens. That is the one that I would use to configure role-based access control. And Chandrika is going to show us later a deeper example on how to configure it. So, I mentioned before that when I come to this website, to the portal, typically I want to do something on this website. So I'd like to have it always accessible, so I can just use it right away. One of the things that I can do is I can pin this blade to the starboard. So if I do it, and I go back to the starboard, see, I have that part that represents my website. So now, next time that I come to the portal, I can just go there, click on that, and get to see the website. This is good, but not as good as I would like. As if I want to learn anything about the website, what I need to do is I need to open the blade and, you know, try to drill for the information that I'm looking for. So this pinning treatment is also extensible to parts. So I'm going to get this monitoring part, for example, and I'm going to pin it to the starboard. I'm going to do the same, for example, with these events. And even one thing that I can do, in this case, I have analytics. If I click this guy, I have access to more analytics. I can pin parts from here to the starboard as well. So now, if I go back to the starboard, I get all those parts right away, directly available to me. Now, you might say that this is pretty good, but actually it is not that great yet. Because the things that I really care about, I need to scroll to see them. And most of the left-hand side of the screen, that is the thing that captures my attention first, is, you know, busy with other things that I don't care much about. So one of the things that I can do at this point is I can customize the portal further, so I can remove the things that I don't care much about, like, for example, this one. Tour, I think I know about this. What's new? I have other ways to get to this one. I can move things around, even the website. I'm going to put it first. Just going to put it second. And you see, we have the map here, right? I can remove and move things around. The map is too big, actually, and it's not giving us as much value. So one thing that I can do is I can resize it. Supports multiple sizes. I'm going to make it smaller. And some of the parts, one of the things that they can do is they're adaptive. So depending on the space, they show different levels of aggregations of information. I'm going to leave them up because it's pretty cool. So large, this guy here, here, here. But as you can see, I can tailor this to match the way in which I like to think about my work. So now it looks more like it, right? It's like something that matches my preference on how I want to interact with the portal. Now, this customization treatment is not only limited to the starboard, and I can do the same thing with blades. So I can enter customize mode, and again, this one I don't care much about.
so I can take it out. I can bring this in and make it bigger. And even I could go as far as getting parts from other blades and bringing them here as well.
So now, what I'm seeing is something that matches more how would I like to interact with these resources and with the portal itself. Now, another thing that I'd like is when I go back to Redmond, I'd like to tell my colleagues what are the things that which resources did I use for the demo. So here is where I can use tags. So basically, one thing that I could do is create a tag, demo tag that I call it Tech Europe, and associate it with this resource. The other thing that I showed is the app insight. So I'm going to navigate from the resource group. And I'm going to add a third tag. One thing to mention also for the ones who know the portal, which you might have been noticing, we made the starboard and the blades mutually exclusive. So we help you to focus more on the task at hand and provide a more predictable navigation in terms of where things land. So here, let me get back to this. Demo, Europe. And now I tag these two resources as things that I demoed here. So now I can go back to my list of tags. What I get to see is all those two things. And even I could go beyond and say, you know, I don't want to forget. So what I'll do is I'm going to pin this one to the starboard. So now it is available for me to use. And I have direct access to that category right away. Finally, one more thing. In terms of personalization, we introduce a settings blade. This is portal settings blade, not resource settings blade, that lets you personalize even further some portal-wide settings. Like, for example, change the different themes. I'm going to leave the one that we had before. Because this is the one, this blue setting, by the way, is one that we added in the updated preview. And also, even I'm going to hide those labels because they don't do much for me. So now, as you can see, I have a portal that matches how I want it to look and how I want to work. So to wrap up, and I'm going to pass it to Chandrika, I'd like to finish with a call to action, which is, actually it's two. Just please try the portal, play with it, and give us feedback. And there are multiple channels for that feedback. One of them, we have here user voice. In the portal, you have access to a place where you can propose ideas or vote for someone else's. We pay a lot of attention to that. You could send us email either to Chandrika or myself, or you can find us at any point in the conference. The three of them are not mutually exclusive. You can do the three of them. So I really look forward to hear from you, and I'm going to pass it on to Chandrika to continue with the demo. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you, Leon. So we're going to continue the demo, the rest of the demo. First thing I want to show is the Azure Marketplace. So those of you that are used to the current management portal are probably used to the Azure Store, launching the Azure Store and provisioning a third-party service that you want to use along with an Azure resource or an Azure application, and then continuing to do what you need to do with your application. What we've done with the Azure Marketplace, I'm going to click on this particular part, Azure Marketplace part. We've added, with this release, we've worked with over 50 partners and provided over 50, I think it's close to 70 gallery items, if you will, marketplace items, if you will, services, applications, services, and products in the Azure Marketplace today with the release at TechEd. And, of course, with that means that we need to be able to provide you with a good search capability in the gallery because we have a lot of items in the marketplace. So we've added the search capability. It's just the first release, and there's more work to do here, obviously. So if I move to the virtual machines category, obviously, as you can see, there's a ton of different types of virtual machines, starting with, obviously, platform ones that we provide out of the box, Windows-based as well as Linux-based, Azure-certified ones, and a slew of other VM Depot community images as well. Now, of course, this is really hard to work with if you didn't know what to look for, so you may want to be able to search for, say, Oracle. I really found the results. It's going to come in just a second. There's a tiny bug we found this morning, and we reported it back to Redmond. Hopefully that works. Cross fingers. Maybe not. Let's look for something else. Let's go back to... Oh, there we go. Looks like we don't like Oracle. That's not true. It looks like the search did not work for Oracle, but we'll go fix it back in Redmond. We actually reported a bug just this morning, and it's getting fixed as we speak. What was that? Yes, perhaps, yes. So going back to virtual machines. So I mentioned earlier when I threw the presentation that we worked with some big data vendors like Cloudera, Hortonworks, DataStax, et cetera, to provide big data cluster management within the Azure Management Portal. So you'll see that Cloudera is featured here. Creation of a multi-VM Cloudera cluster is extremely simple from within the Azure Management Portal. So if I click on Create, notice that there's a few fields that I have to fill out. You would imagine that if you had to provision approximately 20 resource cluster, you would have to work through multiple days of provisioning orchestration across all of these to stand up these things, and then, of course, provision the software that's required to run and stand up Cloudera. You'll see how easy it is to provision this. So first thing, I mentioned earlier in the talk as well, you need to provide the name of the container you want to provision these resources in, which is the resource group. So this is my Cloudera cluster. And I need to provide a username and an SSH key. So I'm going to skip this SSH key just for a moment. Bear with me as I walk through the provisioning steps. Notice that the pricing tier for my master has already been picked for me. We have a default that we pick for you. The virtual machine sizes for my workers, I have 6 workers to configure, has already also been defaulted for me. And then, of course, the storage account and the network, the VNet that gets created as well, has been defaulted into, obviously, a specific subscription I want to provision it in and a location. I really didn't need to go into any of these details. If I wanted to, I could, but I didn't need to do that, really. Once I've provided these 4 pieces of information, I can click Create, and I am done at this point. What I'm going to do is not wait for provisioning a cluster that's probably going to take a few minutes to provision. I'm going to get out of this and actually show you a pre-provisioned cluster and show you how easy it is to provision a multi-VM cluster. So here's what I provisioned in advance to showcase some of the capabilities. Here's a resource group container that contains 18 resources, and it's provisioned over the course of, 20 to 40 minutes. All of these resources are stood up, and Cloudera cluster is actually standing and working for you. So if I drill into, this is a resource group blade, and Leon was talking about the notion of a blade that contains all of the relevant information about a resource or a resource group. And of course, I can add more to this resource group container. I can delete the resource group container as well. But I have 18 resources provisioned for me upon clicking that Create button, filling out 4 fields to provision a multi-VM Cloudera cluster. That's how simple it is. And of course, if I start drilling down here, you'll see some of the same capabilities that you see in the resource blade that you saw Leon demonstrate for websites, the notion of a resource map, all of the contained resources, and of course you can drill into each one of them and look at the status of each one of them. This is not just a pretty diagram. I can look at the deployment history, properties, add tags to my resource group, and I can look at the breakdown of billing information across all of my resources as well. And of course, events that were generated. So the goodness that Azure Resource Manager provides is through the provisioning of that resource group and the contained resources, every event through the provisioning step is recorded and logged, and we expose each of those events and event details to you. So if I drill into the event log, you'll see that all of the steps through the provisioning process of this cluster has been recorded here. And if I had, clearly all of these succeeded, and therefore these are all successful ones, but had any of those steps through the process failed, I would get a failed event, and I'd be able to drill into each one of those failed events and get details, event details for each of these things, which is extremely useful for debugging purposes. So let's go back here, and of course I can set up alert rules on either the events that were generated or events that I'm tracking, or of course the metrics that I'm tracking as well, and we'll talk through that a little bit more. So if I drill into the cluster, notice that I have eight cloud services that got deployed. I have eight virtual machines, and I have a VNet and a storage account that got provisioned as part of provisioning this multi-VM cluster, all done for me literally within 20 to 30 minutes by configuring just four fields. So when I drill into one of the virtual machines, notice that the experience is very similar to what you saw for Azure websites that Leon showed. I have the notion of a resource map that shows me the parent resource group or the parent container and all of the resources contained in it. I have the ability to look at quick start and the settings, which are the properties of the VM. I have rich monitoring data for this VM. This is a Linux VM, guys, and it's not a Windows VM. So we don't differentiate between what the source is. We've provisioned a Cloudera cluster with Linux VMs, and we get exactly the same capabilities you would otherwise get for Windows VMs as well. So out of the box, you get a ton of metrics. You get the ability to look at pricing information, the spend, events, alert rules, all of that goodness, management of disks, endpoints, et cetera, and, of course, access to my VM, to my Linux VM as well. You can do all of the same operations you do on Windows VMs on this Linux VM. And, of course, you can do the same thing for my for your VNet and storage account. I won't go into that detail. Now, with that in mind, let's actually switch over to my other tenant, which has a bunch of other interesting and features that I want to demonstrate through the use of third-party integration, Azure websites, and, of course, access control as well. So while I'm switching over to this tenant, notice that Leon talked about customization of the start board. I've already customized this start board to suit my needs. So I have, I'm interested in service health, so I have a bunch of information on service health. Marketplace is super important to me, so it's front and center. My billing information is obviously critical. I have a ton of resources I've provisioned, so I want to be able to get up-to-date information on my current charges, my burn rate, etc. So if those of you that have not used the preview portal, I would encourage you to explore this and give us feedback on the types of information you need to track billing for your application. Clearly, I spent a lot of money last month and charged Microsoft a lot of money because I was demoing and testing some of the capabilities. So let's switch back to the start board. Let's go to the marketplace and showcase some of the third-party integrations we've talked about. So I demonstrated Cloudera or multi-VM scenarios. Another key one that I want to talk about, while the Cloudera integration was sort of seamlessly mapped into the current experiences we have, we explicitly worked with one of our key partners in the area of application performance monitoring, New Relic, to bring in custom experience for New Relic, and you'll see how easy it is to showcase or build a custom experience for a third party like we do first party. So let me jump in here and show you how easy it is to create a New Relic account. So just like any other marketplace or gallery item, you click on the item in the gallery, and you get all of the details of that particular service. And if I hit create, I should be able to get the same kind of create experience you saw with Cloudera, virtual machine experience. All I have to provide here is the name of a New Relic account. And let me just specify test New Relic and go ahead and click on the pricing tier. I can pick a specific pricing tier I want. I can pick the resource group I want to configure this in. Let's go ahead and pick a default resource group, and that defaults me to the subscription that resource group is already mapped to. I can configure the location that I want to deploy the New Relic account in. Let's pick North Europe. For convenience, and of course, being a third party, I need to adhere to legal terms, so I can click OK there. Once I've done this, I can hit Create. The reason why Create is disabled here is I've already created a New Relic account, and for this release, we have a restriction of one account per subscription, so we will switch back to an existing New Relic account, and I'll show you some of the capabilities, but this is how easy it is to fully blend in and provision a New Relic account within the Azure portal. This is the work we did in partnership with the team in New Relic. They're sitting right here in the front row. Worked very hard for about 2 weeks to really get the entire New Relic service up and running in the Azure portal. So let me jump over to New Relic here. So I already have a New Relic account that I provisioned, and you'll see how easy it is to look at monitor some of the services that you want to link to, you would link to a New Relic account. Two things that we accomplished in this release is the ability to monitor an Azure website through agent injection. using New Relic and get some rich application performance monitoring data. The second is use the same capability, same technology to use VM extension to inject the agent to monitor, do application performance monitoring for Azure virtual machines as well. So looks like I haven't hit this website for a while, and therefore you're not seeing the health status being green, but we'll do that in just a minute. So just like with any other resource, you'll see a summary blade that shows you the group, the resource group that the New Relic account belongs to, and of course all of the websites that it's already linked to. And same in the same way we did first-party services, you'll see a quick start, properties, the ability to manage keys, et cetera, for the New Relic account. And down here, you'll see the applications I'm monitoring with New Relic. There are two websites that I'm monitoring with New Relic, and you'll see pricing tier information, events, all of the same stuff you see for first-party resources. So actually, let's drill into one of the websites. So this one is an active website. The reason, again, you're not seeing a green icon here is because this hasn't been hit for a while. So if we hit this website now, we should be able to activate it. So you'll see active performance data here, throughput, error rate, et cetera, right here within the Azure portal, directly linked to the Azure portal. That's how easy it is to get full integration with New Relic to look at APM data. And of course, if I wanted to, I could go straight to the New Relic portal and look at the same websites that I'm monitoring that I've linked to get additional richness that New Relic already provides in the New Relic portal. So I jumped into the New Relic portal to look at some of the data. Let me go back to applications. Looks like we are not quite getting the data we need. Let me switch back to the portal to make sure that we have... Actually, there is data here, I see. You are seeing throughput here. You are... No, error rate obviously is not that high. Let me switch back to New Relic, see if we can get to that data. Our friends here at New Relic hopefully can help troubleshoot why we're not seeing the data, but it's the data you're seeing, you would be seeing in the Azure portal that you would see here in addition to additional goodness that New Relic already provides. So switching back to the Azure portal, now it is extremely easy to connect a New Relic account to the two Azure resources I talked about, Azure websites and Azure VMs. For Azure VMs, all I have to do is I switch back to the marketplace, and let's pick a virtual machine. Let's pick Windows Server 2000 and R2. And I'm actually not going to go through the provisioning process, but I'll show you how easy it is to do this. So all I have to do, obviously, to create a VM is provide the host name, username, password, and I can specify some optional configuration. If I switch to optional configuration, notice that there is an item here that says New Relic Performance Monitoring, and we've special-cased monitoring because we know it's significant for customers. Customers already are purchasing third-party services for monitoring. Some of you guys are already paying for it. It works in your organization. It makes sense for you to continue to use it. So we've made it extremely easy and friction-free for you to come in here and simply integrate New Relic into your existing service. So during creation, looks like we're having a bad day with this integration, but during creation, I can actually specify whether I want to turn on New Relic or not, and that is it. It's as simple as that. And of course, during post-creation, let me bring up the website here. I'll browse to an existing website. So let's pick techeddemo.org, and you'll see that while this website is actually not instrumented quite with application monitoring. So if I drilled into application monitoring, notice that it's showing me that there's already a New Relic account. All I have to do is, yeah, I want this account picked, and I want to use this New Relic account connected to the website and start getting APM data. That's as simple as it is. So while this is doing it, let me switch over to an existing website and show you the APM data from within the website as well. So clearly I was able to configure it. Site extension update was successful. Now it's going to start doing what it needs to do in order to start getting APM data. So I'm going to close this one out, go back to home, and look at an existing, actually, let me go back to the browse that I had. Let me go back to the journey that I have open, techademo.org. Oh, there you go. So there's some requests and errors. Let me actually close this guy. Let me go to an existing one. That one. As it loads, you'll see that I already have, I have not yet configured any other type of monitoring on this yet. I'm getting some server-side metrics. I'm not yet getting any kind of client-side metrics, but I have configured it for New Relic to get APM data. So if I drill into it, I should see exactly what I saw from within the New Relic blade. I will be able to see APM metrics, throughput, error rate, et cetera, right here within the website. So let's switch back to another website so I can walk you through some of the capabilities we already have for Azure websites in general and some of the common infrastructure capabilities such as RBAC. So while it loads, what we've done with all of the Azure resources uniformly across the board is providing a uniform monitoring API so you can monitor all of your applications. So we can get server-side metrics for all services, whether you're Azure websites, whether you're virtual machines, storage, et cetera, SQL database, et cetera. So you'll see server-side monitoring capabilities such as requests and errors. And if I actually go ahead and edit this chart, notice that I can actually change the time range. I can add additional metrics. Leon showed some of the capabilities already, but there's a ton of server-side metrics that resources push. We collect all of that data, and we expose that to customers, so you can choose to plot what you want, depending on what kind of monitoring you want to do, what kind of troubleshooting you want to do. Similarly, client-side analytics with Application Insights, which is a capability that Microsoft Platform offers, you can also do client-side monitoring, things like sessions per browser, page views, sessions per device, slowest pages, et cetera. I think Leon demonstrated pinning one of these parts to your start board so you can monitor client-side metrics as well. In addition, we also can do availability monitoring through web tests. This is also provided through the Application Insights technology. Now, for this particular website, I've set up a bunch of web tests that I can look at. Looks like one of my web test is actually failing, and I can actually troubleshoot and go to see what exactly is happening with this website. I can drill in and say where the errors are. I can debug directly into Visual Studio and find out what errors exist and debug them, resolve them, and come back in here to monitor my application. So it's as simple as that. So let's get back in here. And then some of the other things I want to quickly mention before we run out of time are things like continuous integration. So those of you that use TFS to manage your builds, to manage your deployments, to do work item tracking, etc., we have an easy integration with TFS as well. So here I've already integrated TFS. I can drill into my latest deployment and look into the details of what I've done. I can manage my build results. I can look at my commits. I can actually do code editing here. We have direct integration with code editing capabilities that allows me to edit the code. In fact, that's exactly what I did here. If I look at my commits, my last commit was actually to update index.html to include the script to enable Application Insights for client-side monitoring. So if I drill into this, I can actually get an immersive experience to actually do code editing. In this case, we're simply looking at code. It's a read-only version of the code. But I can do editing right in here and commit that change back into my source control system. I can also obviously create work items, manage work items here, right within my website as soon as I've integrated it. So let me close this one out. And, of course, there's a ton of capabilities within websites, and I'm not going to spend time walking through the capabilities of websites. I'll let you guys play with it and give us feedback. One common thing I want to talk through is role-based access control. Now, you've seen this part pretty much show up in every blade, whether it's a virtual machine, website, Azure website, storage, SQL Azure, et cetera, every Azure resource, by virtue of sitting on top of the Azure Resource Manager, gets the benefit of role-based access control, which is a platform feature. So out of the box, we provide you with three roles, three built-in roles, owner, contributor, and reader. And of course, the owner gets to define who gets to be contributor and reader as well, like you would normally expect. And we're looking to add, obviously, more out-of-box roles and the ability to add custom roles as well to the platform. So in this case, there's one owner, the subscription admin, which is inherited from the subscription. The way the hierarchy of role-based access control works is at the highest level, permission is granted at the subscription level, and then trickles down through the resource group to the individual resources. Now, of course, I can grant access. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go to the contributor. Clearly, there is a contributor already I have assigned. But if I want to add more contributors to my list of contributors, I can go ahead here. As soon as it populates the list, add more contributors back to my contributor list. Or if I decided that I needed to add more readers, I should be able to add more readers from the list of co-admins I've already added, or from the directory that I'm from within the directory that I'm managing. In this case, I actually don't have a whole bunch of users in the directory, but I have added a bunch of co-admins that I can then add as a reader. For example, I add Brad Mee as a reader to this particular subscription. I have had a success event. Notice that all of these events are recorded in the event log, so you will have the ability to see who did what and when, and manage sort of the audit of all of the operations that you perform within the management portal. So I added a user as a reader, and now that reader, when I log in as Bradley Millington, I should be able to get read-only access to the Azure website. So these are some of the rich capabilities that we've provided across all of the Azure services. There are some common capabilities that we've provided for every resource, because these are platform capabilities, things like role-based access control, things like tags, obviously some of the UX capabilities that we have that span across all of Azure services. For third parties that want to build their own extensions within the Azure portal, you'll be able to leverage all of these capabilities by simply sitting on top of the Azure Resource Manager, which is the management API, and using the Azure Framework SDK to build an extension within the Azure portal, which is what our friends in New Relic did. They sat with us and built the extension, built a resource provider in order to enable this first-class experience. And this is kind of the work that we're doing with several partners. And at some point, obviously, we'll be in a position to hand out SDKs to third parties without having to handhold when the SDK is fully ready, so you can build your own custom resource providers and custom user experiences within this management portal. So with that, we will switch over to the deck. So in summary, Azure Portal Preview and Resource Manager, with the Azure Portal Preview and the Resource Manager, there are several capabilities we're bringing to the table here. Obviously, this is the first step in the right direction. We have a long road ahead of us. We're still in preview. We are on a path to getting to GA, so there's a slew of capabilities we are planning to add to the platform and to the portal. Enterprise grade, with the beginning with all of the consistent authorization and authentication model that we have with the Azure Resource Manager, and what we've built on top of it with role-based access control. Bridging the island of experiences, you'll see even with the current management portal that the experience to manage individual resources is siloed within the resource. There is no way to cross-reference things. The examples that Leon was showing, where I want to pick some apart from another resource and pin it to my start board, or pin it to an existing blade where I can manage different things that I'm interested in. Bridging those islands of experiences is another key tenet that we're bringing with the preview portal. It's simple and best in class. We hope that we get a lot of feedback from you folks so we can improve and make the usage even easier as we build more and more experiences in this management portal. It's consistent, as you saw. Every single experience, whether it is first party or third party, it's consistent. You get the same experience. You don't have to learn anything new when you move from a first party to a third party, or when you move to a multi-VM cloud era cluster management to a simple website or a simple SQL database. It's customizable. You saw a lot of customization that Leon demoed. There is more to do, obviously. We'll continue to build through these kinds of customization capabilities, not just in the UX, but also in the API layer. So, customizing templates, customizing out-of-box templates, building your own templates, and sort of adding your own My Template in the marketplace, in the gallery, giving you the ability to manage your own continuous deployment versioning capabilities for your own applications. That's another thing that will come as well. Obviously, the ability to discover, cross-sell, upsell, you're seeing a lot of that already. We've provided a lot of out-of-box capabilities to for us to be able to upsell and cross-sell some of these capabilities. You'll see us saying, you know, if you want to get this capability, obviously it's only offered in this higher SKU, so you may want to upgrade to this higher SKU. And this is being a platform capability, this is possible for a third party to leverage. For example, New Relic could come along and say, you know what, we offer these capabilities only in our premium SKU, and therefore we will upsell a given feature to our customers to say, hey, upgrade to premium and you'll get all of these goodness. And all of that is possible from within the portal. Providing an ecosystem for internal and external partners. So you've already seen the Azure Marketplace. This is a starting point to bring in third parties, whether they are startups providing simple services and applications or or complex big data clusters for managing big data, like Cloudera or Hortonworks, et cetera. It's an ecosystem that we want to continue to leverage in the Azure Marketplace and provide first-class experiences in the management portal and through the APIs as well. So with that, we're opening up for questions you might have, feedback. Obviously, there's more information for all of these. Let me just switch over. Yep. Yes, please.
So,
So the question was, can we filter the portal by subscription? You will see this capability in the current management portal that you can filter by subscription. This is something that's coming to the preview portal. I had to switch tenants and switch subscriptions, et cetera, when I did my demo, and this is just a point in time. We are bringing subscription filtering and tenant filtering into the portal. Yes. Can you have network security? Can you add network security groups to resource groups? So it is the division of resources, the componentization of resources within a resource groups is entirely defined by the template you define. So if you construct your templates to expose these components, they will be exposed as first-class citizens. Yes. Yes. Well, so the resource group is a container. The Azure Resource Manager is the engine, if you will, that powers this. The resource group is the container of all of the resources that you just provisioned into that container. So in the case of Cloudera, when I hit provision, I essentially stood up 8 cloud service instances, 8 virtual machine instances, 1 storage account, and 1 virtual network. So these 18 resources got stood up all in a single management group called whatever I named the resource group as in that single resource group. You can choose to simply deploy a website and a SQL database, for example, as an application, if you will, in a container, in a resource group, and all you will see is a website and a SQL database in that resource group. So it's up to you how you define your application and what you put in your resource group, but that defines the boundary of your management and deployment, essentially. Yes. So the integration we showed is TFS Online integration. So TFS Online essentially takes care of managing all your continuous integration needs, if you will, in the cloud. And what we've integrated with is TFS Online assets, if you will. TFS on-prem continues to still exist as a product. If you're saying, can I move my tasks, if you work items and builds and things like that into Azure, that is work you would do through TFS, not through the Azure portal necessarily. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Got it. So every provisioning step, as I said, is done through the Azure Resource Manager and through that orchestration that's specified in the template. And where there are errors, we do push those errors to the event log. And maybe what you're saying is it's so far deep down that it's not very discoverable and not visible to you up front. So this is something that we can work on, making it visible every step of the way, up front through notifications or maybe clearer error messages that help you debug quickly rather than having to drill down through multiple nested levels of journeys. That's good feedback. Thank you. Yeah. Any other questions? So hopefully you guys enjoyed the session and got a lot out of learning about the portal and what capabilities we have, and we'll continue to use the portal and give us feedback. So we look forward to your feedback. Thank you very much for attending the session.